You are not the change. So what is the use struggling with the change? No need. Tantra says, please be re-established in your center. Be aware of the center which is unmoving, and allow the whole existence to move. It is not a disturbance at all. It becomes only disturbance if you cling to it, or if you try to make it unmoving. Then you are falling in absurdities, foolish efforts. They will not succeed. You will be a failure. Know well that life is a change, but somewhere hidden in this change is an unmoving center also. Just become aware of it. That very awareness is enough to liberate you. That very feeling that I am unmoving liberates. That's the truth. You know it, and you are different. Don't fight with shadows. And whole life is a shadow, because change is nothing but shadow. The unchanging is the real. The changing is the unreal. So don't ask that to realize the center, how the peripheral change and the movement has to be forced to cease. There is no need, and you cannot force it. It cannot cease. The world goes on. Only it will not go on in you. You can remain in the world, and there is no need for the world to be in you. The world is not the disturbance. When you get involved in it, when you become the change, or you feel that you have become the change, then it creates problems. Problems are created not by the changing periphery. They are created by the identification that I am this change. You have fallen ill. Illness is not really the disturbance. When you feel that I have fallen ill, it is disturbance. If you can be a witness of that illness, illness is happening somewhere on the periphery. It is not happening to you. It is happening to someone else. You are just the witness. Then death also can happen, but you will be just the witness. Alexander was returning back from India. Some friends in his country had requested him to bring a sannyasin from India. And when you come with conquered possessions, don't forget, they had said, bring a sannyasin also. We want to see what a sannyasin is. What type of a man is one who renounces the world? What has happened to him who renounces all desires? What type of bliss comes to him who leaves all hankering, thirst, all hunger for future possessions, things? Just in the last moment, Alexander remembered. So in the last town where he was to leave India, back to his country, he told his soldiers to go and find out a sannyasin. So they went to the town and they asked the old men of the town. So they said, yes, there is a sannyasin, a great sannyasin, but it will be difficult. It is very difficult to persuade him to go with Alexander to Athens. But the soldiers were soldiers. They said, "You don't be worried about it. We can force anyone. So you don't get worried about it. Just tell us where he is. And we know how to force him. There is no need to persuade." And if Alexander says to your whole town to follow him, you will have to follow. So what of a single sannyasi? But the old man laughed, and the soldiers couldn't understand, because they have never encountered a sannyasi. So they reached to the sannyasi, and he was standing naked on the bank of the river, and they told him that Alexander orders that you have to come with us, and every care will be taken. No inconvenience will be for you. You will be the royal guest, but you have to come with us to Athens. The sannyasin laughed, and he said, "It will be very difficult for your Alexander to take me with himself. No force in this world can force me to follow. So it is better. You will not be able to understand. Bring your Alexander." Alexander was disturbed, felt insulted, but he wanted to see this man. He came with a naked sword, and he said, "If you say no, then immediately you lose your life. I will cut your head." The name of the sannyasi was, as it is reported in Alexander's record, Dandi. The sannyasi said, he again laughed and said, "But you came late, a little late. You cannot kill me now because I have killed myself already. You are a little late. You can cut my head, but you cannot cut me, because I have become a witness. So when this head will fall down on the earth, you will also see it falling down, and I will also see it falling down. But you cannot cut me, you cannot even touch me. So don't waste time. You can cut. Raise your sword and cut the head." Alexander couldn't kill that man. It was impossible, because it was useless. The man was so beyond death, it was impossible to kill him. Only you can be killed if you cling to life. That clinging to the changing pattern makes you a mortal. If you don't cling, you have always been an immortal. Immortality is your birthright. It has always been there. You become a mortal if you cling. So there is no question, there is no need to force the changing periphery to make it static. There is no need, and you cannot make it. It will go on. The wheel will go on. All that you can do is to know that you are not the wheel. You are the axis, not the wheel. Good question. Man being as he is it not difficult for him to dissolve change through change, sex through sex, etc., without attachments, with their consequent anxiety and disappointment? Man as he is can do this. And this is suggested only for the man as he is. Tantra is a medicine for you, for those who are ill. So don't think that it is not for you. It is for you. And you can do it. But you will have to understand what is meant. When you say that there is the possibility of falling in attachments, and then the consequences will be there, and frustration, you have not understood. Consume change through change means, even if there is attachment, don't fight with it. Be attached, but be a witness also. Let the attachment be there. Don't fight with it. Tantra is a non-fighting process. Don't fight with it. Frustration will come, of course. So be frustrated. But be a witness also. You know well you were attached. You were a witness. Now the frustration has come. You know well it has to come. Now be frustrated. But be a witness. Then through attachment, attachment is consumed. And through frustration, frustration is consumed. Try this. When you feel miserable, be miserable. Don't fight with it. Try this. It is wonderful. When there is misery and you feel miserable, close your doors and be miserable. Now what you can do? You are miserable, so you are miserable. Now be totally miserable. Suddenly you will become aware of the misery. And if you try to change it, you will never become aware, because your effort, your energy, your consciousness is directed towards change. How to change this misery? Then you started thinking how it came. And now what to do to change it? And you are missing a very beautiful experience, the misery itself. Now you are thinking about the causes, and you are thinking about the consequences, and you are thinking about the methods, how to forget it, how to go beyond it, and you are missing misery itself. And misery is there, and that can be liberating. Just don't do anything. Don't analyze how the misery is created. Don't think what consequences are going to follow. They will follow, so you can see later on. There is no haste. Be miserable, simply miserable, and don't try to change it. Try this for how many minutes you can remain miserable. You will start laughing about the whole thing. The whole thing will look stupid. Because if you are totally miserable, suddenly your center is beyond. That center can never be miserable. It is impossible. If you remain with the misery becomes the background, and your center, which can never be miserable, suddenly rises above. And then you are miserable, and you are not miserable. The same unsame. Now you are consuming misery through misery. This is what is meant. You are not doing anything. You are simply consuming misery through misery. Misery will disappear as clouds disappear. And the sky will be open. And you will be laughing. And you have not done anything. And you cannot do anything. All that you can do, you can create more confusion. and more misery. Who has created this misery? You. And now you are trying to change it. It will get worse. You are the creator of the misery. You have created it. You are the source, and now the source itself is trying. What can you do? Now the patient is treating himself, and he has created the whole thing. Now he is thinking of surgery. It is suicidal. Don't do anything. The inside is very deep. Try this. You have tried so many times to stop misery, to stop depression, to stop this and that, and nothing has happened. Now try this. Don't do anything. Allow the misery to be there in its totality. In the full intensity, allow it to happen. And remain non-doing. Just be with it and see what happens. Life is change. Even Himalaya is changing. Your misery cannot be unchanging. It will change by itself. And you will see that it is changing. Now it is disappearing. Now it is going away. And you feel unburdened. And you have not done anything. Once you know the secret, you can consume anything through itself. But the secret is to be silently without doing anything. Anger is there, be. Just be. Don't do anything. If you can do this much, this non-doing, you can, if you can just be there, present, witnessing, but making no effort to change anything, allowing the things to have their own way, you will consume anything. You can consume anything. The last question. Tantra says, do not struggle or swim, but let go and float in the river of life. But experience shows that modern city life of speed and heavy technology creates constant tensions and exertions physically and mentally. What will be the Tantra attitude about it? Is it not good to avoid unnecessary exertions? Life has always been so, modern or primitive. Tensions are there. Anxieties are there. Objects change. Man remains the same. 2,000 years back, you were driving a bullock cart, now you are driving a car. But the driver remains the same. The bullock cart has changed. Things are different now. You are driving a car. But the driver remains the same. He was anxious about his cart. Tense about his cart. Now you are tense and anxious about your car. Objects change. The mind remains the same. So don't think that because of the modern life you are so much in anxiety. It is because of you, not because of modern life. And you will be in anxiety anywhere in any type of civilization. Go to a village for a few days, 2 or 3 days, you will feel good, because even diseases need readjustment. Within 3 days you will be readjusted to village, and now anxieties will start coming. Disturbances will be felt again. Now the same will not be the causes, but you are the same. Sometimes it happens that you may be disturbed because of city traffic and noise, and you may be saying that you cannot sleep in the night because there is so much traffic and noise. Then go to a village and you will not be able to sleep because there is no traffic and no noise, and you will have to come back. That the village looks dull, dead, there is no life. People go on reporting to me. One friend, I told him to go to Kashmir, to Pahalgam. He came back and said, life is dull there. There is no life. And you can enjoy for 1 or 2 days valleys and hills, and then one gets bored. And he was telling me here that city life is getting on my nerves. And now he says, those hills, I was getting bored. And I started longing back, how to come back to home. You are the problem. Kashmir will not be of any help. It is not Bombay that disturbs you, or London or New York. It is you. And it is not that London has created you, you have created the London. It is not that this traffic and this noise and this mad rush, you have created this, you and others like you. Look, the cause is within you. It is not that you are tense because of noise. The noise is there because you are tense and you cannot live without it. That's why it is there. You need it. You cannot live without it. And in village, people are suffering. They want to come to Bombay, to New York, to London. And the moment they get the opportunity, they run from there. And I have been listening to people who go on talking about the beautiful village life, but they never go to live there. They never go to live there. They simply talk about it. Who prevents you? Why not go? Go to the forest. Who prevents you? You will not like it. You cannot like it. Right now you will like it for a few days because it is a change. And then you will get bored, dull. And then you would like to escape from there. This city life is created by your mad mind. You are not getting mad because of these cities. These cities are built because of your mad mind. They are built for you and by you, and they exist for you. And unless this mad mind changes, these cities cannot disappear. They will have to remain. They are your byproduct. Remember one thing. Whenever you feel something wrong, first find out the cause in yourself. Don't go anywhere. out of 100, 99 times you will find the cause within you. And if you can find out of 199% causes within you, the 100th will disappear by itself. You are the cause. Whatsoever is happening to you, you are the cause. And the whole world is just a mirror. But it is consolatory always to find the cause somewhere else. Then you never feel guilt. You never feel self-condemned. You can always point out, here is the cause. And unless this cause changes, how can I change? You can escape in it. This is a trick. So always your mind goes on projecting causes somewhere else. The wife is disturbed because of the husband. The mother is disturbed because of the children. The children are disturbed because of the father. Everyone is disturbed because of someone else. And everyone always thinks that the cause exists outside. Mullah Nasruddin was passing down a street. It was evening and the darkness was descending. Suddenly he became aware the street was empty, no traffic, and he became afraid. A group of people was coming towards him and he was reading about dacoits, robbers, murderers. So he created fear. He started trembling. He projected. Now these murderers and dacoits are coming, and they are bound to kill me. So how to escape them? He saw all around there was a cemetery. So he jumped the wall of the cemetery. And there was a ready-made grave for someone. So he thought it is good to be dead in this grave. They will feel he is dead, there is no need to murder. So Mullah lied down. The group was just a marriage procession. But they saw this man trembling, jumping. So they became afraid. What is the matter? Who is this man? Seems to do some mischief. He is hiding there. So the whole procession is stopped. They jumped the wall. Mullah became more afraid, but now they came near and they asked, what are you doing here? Why are you here in this grave? So Mullah said, you are asking a very difficult question. I am here because of you, and you are here because of me. And this is happening everywhere. You are disturbed because of someone else. He is disturbed because of you. And just creating everything around you, projecting, and then getting afraid, scared, making efforts to defend, and then misery and frustration and conflict and depression and fighting them. The whole thing is stupid. And it will remain unless you change the attitude and always try first to find the cause within you. How the traffic noise can disturb you? How? If you are against it, it will disturb. If you have the attitude that it disturbs, it will disturb. But if you are accepting, allowing it to happen with no reaction, you may even start enjoying it. it has its own melody, its own music. You have not heard, that doesn't mean that it has not its own music. Someday forget yourself and just listen to the traffic noise. Just listen, don't bring your attitudes that this is disturbing, this is not good. Don't bring your attitudes, just listen to the melody. In the beginning it will look chaotic. That too is because of the mind. If you relax totally, sooner or later everything will fit in a harmonious whole. And even the traffic noise will become musical. And you can enjoy it. And you can dance to its tune. It depends on you. Nothing disturbs unless you think that it disturbs. For example, I will tell you. Many things have disturbed humanity because there was a certain concept that they disturb. When the concept changes, the things remain the same, but they don't disturb. For example, masturbation disturbed the whole world. Just half century before, the whole world was disturbed by masturbation. Every teacher, every father, every mother was disturbed. And every child was disturbed. And still, on the larger, ignorant world, the disturbance remains. And then physiologists, psychologists discovered that masturbation cannot disturb anyone. It is natural. And nothing is wrong with it. Nothing absolutely wrong with it. But old teaching was that if you get mad, it is because of masturbation. If you are not getting higher ranks into education, it is because of masturbation. If you are ill, it is because of masturbation. Everything was forced down, reduced to masturbation. And more or less every child was doing it. Every boy was doing it. So every boy was afraid. He was doing it, and he was afraid now he is going to be mad, inferior, crazy, eccentric, ill, and the life is wasted. And he couldn't resist. He had to do it, and these ideas entered in his mind. And they had effects. They affected many, went mad. Many remained inferior. Many remained stupid because of it. And it has no relationship at all. The modern science, the modern research says, rather it is healthy. The medical science says it is good, because at the age of 14 or 13 the boy, or at the age of 12 and 13 the girl, they become sexually mature. If nature is allowed, they must get married immediately. They are ready to reproduce. But civilization, necessity forces, they will have to remain unmarried for 10 years at least, or even more. And medicine says 14 to 20, these 6 years, are the most potent sexually. Now the boy will never be so potent again as he is now. The energy is bubbling up. The whole body is ready to burst in sex. And the society says, no, the energy should not be allowed to move. But the energy is moving and the child cannot do anything. And whatsoever he is going to do will have effects because of the philosophy around. He will feel he is doing something wrong. He will feel guilt. And that guilt will follow as a shadow. And many diseases will happen because of the idea, not because of the act. Medicine says it is healthy because he is relieved of unnecessary energy. Otherwise that unnecessary energy will create problems. So it is healthy. Now they are propagating, particularly in America, England, and other Western developed countries who know much more about physiology, now they are propagating masturbation. Now there are films to show to the children how to masturbate. And every teacher will be teaching sooner or later how to masturbate rightly. And they say it is healthy. And now those who think it is healthy, they feel very healthy about it. I don't think it is either. It is neither healthy nor unhealthy. The idea. If it is healthy, and the concept is spread, it will become healthy. Now they say, not only that masturbation never affected anyone's intelligence, they say, better the intelligence, more masturbation will be there. So a boy who is masturbating more will be of higher IQ than the boy who is not masturbating. And they have reasons to say, because even to find out masturbation is a sign of intelligence, because he is finding out a way. The society has closed the door for marriage, and the nature is forcing the energy. The intelligent one will find out a way, and the non-intelligent one will be just blocked. He will not be able to find out the way. And now the strategy is so that those boys who masturbate, they are more intelligent. If this idea is spread, and it is bound to be there, sooner or later the whole world will be under this idea, then masturbation will be healthy and you will feel well-being. Now every parent is afraid, because the parent knows what he did when he was young. When his boy becomes young and comes to the same age, he becomes afraid. And he starts looking around what the boy is doing. He is afraid, and if he finds the boy, he will punish. But the new knowledge says, don't punish the boy, rather teach him. And if he is not doing, then go to the doctor and find out what is wrong. If this becomes a well-spread knowledge, then it will happen. But both are suggestions. Both are suggestions, and when some boy masturbates, he is very suggestive in that moment. Because when sexual energy is being released, he becomes vulnerable, open, flexible, and his mind is silent. Any idea put in that moment will have effects. So if you say you are going to be ill because of it, he will feel. If you say you are going to be healthy because of it, he will become healthy. If you say you will be stupid whole your life if you do this, he will remain a dunce. If you say now, this is a good sign of intelligence, he may get a higher IQ. You are simply suggesting in a very vulnerable moment. Whatsoever you think starts happening. Buddha is reported to have said, that every thought will become a thing. So be aware. If you think that the traffic noise disturbs you, it will disturb you. You are ready for disturbance. If you think a family life is bondage, it will be a bondage to you. You are ready for it. If you think that poverty will help and poverty will make you liberated, it will help. It is you ultimately who is creating a world around you, and whatsoever you think becomes the new sphere, the milieu, and you exist in it. Tantra says, remember this causality, it is always within you. And if you know this, then you will not cause anything. If you know this, you will not cause anything for yourself. And when someone is not causing anything, he is liberated. Then he is not in misery and not in bliss. Remember this. Bliss is also your creation. Misery is also your creation. You can change your misery into bliss because they are your creations. And the liberated one, really the enlightened one, is neither. Because he has ceased to cause anything around him. He simply is. That's why Buddha never says that the enlightened one is blissful. Whenever someone asks him, tell us something about one who has gone beyond, whether he is in perfect bliss, Buddha laughs and he says, don't ask. I can say only this much, that he is not in misery. I cannot say anything more. He is not in misery, that's all I can say. Why so much insistence on the negative? Because Buddha knows, when you have come to know that you were the cause of your misery, then you know well that the bliss also is caused by you. And then one ceases to cause anything. That is what nirvana is. Cessation of causing anything around you. Then you are. Simply. No misery, no bliss. And if you can understand, only this is bliss, when there is no misery and no bliss. Because if there is bliss, misery is there. You are still causing something. And if you can cause bliss, you can cause misery. And you will get bored of the bliss also. How much you can extend it? How much? Have you ever thought that 24 hours in bliss, will you be able to extend it? You will get bored. And you will go on seeking teachers who can teach you how to get miserable again.